Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the WordPro podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Before we dive into today's episode, we just really want to ask a favour from you. This year, we're all about levelling up everything that we're doing across all of the platforms that we are on. So we've just got a quick favour. Please pause this podcast, come back in a minute and just subscribe as to whatever channel you are watching on, whether that's YouTube, Apple, Spotify, just click the subscribe button. It allows us to keep bringing you the content that you love and also to reach new people. It's one of the ways that you can help to support our podcast. And we really just want to say thank you so much for supporting our podcast. Now let's get on to the episode. Hello and welcome to our episode of the WordPro podcast. I'm Katie, she's Roxy.
Hello. Hey.
And today I have evoked fear and anxiety into Roxy. We've actually got a coaching call in about 40 minutes. I was like, come on, let's jump on a pod. Roxy has got no idea.
Literally said, so what is it about? She's like, I'm not going to tell you. Let's just hit record. So who knows? I'm excited. I'm nervous. Just tell me.
No idea what we're going to talk about. So we're going to dive in today. We're going to treat Roxy nice and gentle. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to know what makes Roxy tick. So it's been absolutely, she's having a little giggle. It's been absolutely ages since we've done an episode where we really dive into what makes you tick, why you make such a great business person, where does your work ethic come from? Where do some of the values that you hold in your business?
I love it. Katie, interview Roxy.
So I was listening to an episode of the Stephen Bartlett podcast yesterday, and I was listening to one he did a few weeks ago, but it's one that we've been meaning to catch up on, where he's interviewing a CIA agent, and the CIA agent is talking about his experiences in life and why they attributed and contributed to him being such a good CIA agent. Yeah. And I was like, oh my word, this is really interesting. I really want to know what makes us tick. Let's dive into the stuff that, you know, that we carry around with us, think experiences we've had in our life, and
how that impacts us now. Exactly that. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and have a little look at, you know, how it impacts us, whether that's showing up in our business, you know, good, bad, the ugly, we are here for it. So, didn't want to tell you, because I didn't want you to think too much about it.
Yeah.
It's a nice little general chat. It's nice for our podcast listeners to really get to know us as well, especially the ones that, you know, have worked with us for a little while. It's just nice for them to know. We don't tend to really dive into...
I mean, way back when, like episode zero, we went into our story there. But
that's
since...
like 300 episodes ago.
Exactly, but since then, that's it, yeah. Yeah, let's do this. I'm in.
Yes, she's in. She's here for it. Let's go for it. So, Roxy, what things, you know, how do you think you ended up running your own business? And, you know, what skills do you bring to that? What's your really driving factor? What do you do it for? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
So let's start with how did I end up running this business with you? I actually, if I'm completely honest, if I look back to, you know, when my working life began, I would have never have thought about running my own business. But on the flip side, I was always finding ways to make money. I was the teenager that always had the jobs, always, literally, I wanted to work to earn, to have nice things. So I think then as I've moved forward in my life, I was a young mum to two young children, it kind of just clicked that, oh, okay, like maybe running my own business is the way forward, because then childcare is not as much of an issue, because we know childcare is hard work. So, and I know that lots of you kind of listening can relate to that. So that's probably where it came from. And what makes me tick, what gets me out of bed in the morning, is helping people. I've always been the person that wants to see everybody succeed. Anything I can do to help anyone get to where they want to be, even in my personal life, like, and that's actually was probably at my detriment, because people like my family see me or saw me as like the yes person. Oh, Roxy will help. Roxy will do this for me. Roxy will do that. But that's definitely what makes me tick, is seeing people succeed. And I love it. It literally gives me the biggest buzz.
Ah, I love that answer, but I think we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that and pick this apart a little bit. I mean, I've worked with you and known you now for pretty much most of your career, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, I suppose before you joined the wedding industry, you had what would be considered as jobs, really, rather than a career.
Yes, so definitely.
I've known you since kind of your career began and have we've worked together for the best part of sort of eight years now. I was trying to think about how old the youngest baby is. And really what I noticed when you came to work with me, we were both on the same page. So prior to me having the bridal shop, I dabbled with running the business from home for a little while. Then I had the bridal shop, then Roxy came to work, and I was very much teeth in the game, wanted to make it work, wanted to earn my own money, had been a stay-at-home mum for a few years. You'd been in the same position where we'd both been, and we wanted to grab the opportunity with both hands, didn't we? And you were, you know, I would say it took you a little while to get into it, not too long. You know, when we say a little while to get into it, I'm saying it was weeks rather than months or years. It was, but once you kind of figured, oh, okay, this could lead somewhere. It's not just going to be a Saturday job for me. It's not just going to be a few hours of, you know, a little bit of cash for me. It's not going to be like another job. It potentially has got the potential to turn into a career here. I think what I kind of saw with you was a real determination to get your head down and to make it work. And
yeah, I think I always remember, and I think the point when I realised this isn't just a job, this could be, you know, a career for me, was when you said to me, where do you want to be like this time next year? And that just, I don't know, that switched something. And also, I saw like a fire in you, like you honestly, you did inspire me so much, because I thought, geez, like, look at her go. I was like, this girl has got it going on. And I thought, well, if you can do that, and we were in, you know, similar situations, young children, I thought, what is actually stopping me? And what was stopping me was me. I was in control of what I could do. So I just was like, right, I'm lighting my own fire. And that is thanks to you. Thank you.
I lit the match, but it was there. It was there already. And I think that motivating factor came from me was that period where I suppose I was a little bit coasting. So if I take my journey back a little bit, I am hugely academic. In my household, in my growing up, failure wasn't really an option. I think a little bit that's how my family maybe showed love. We weren't really a loving, cuddly, love you. I mean, even this morning I had like a little cuddle with my daughter before she got out of bed. She was like, give me a hug, mummy. It was not like that in my house growing up at all. But really what was rewarded was good grades, intelligence, cracking on, working hard, getting a good job, getting a good career, that sort of thing. I was very studious, grade A student, not across the board. Some things were difficult, but I really worked hard to get, you know, the grades that I got. And then I had this period in the middle where went to university, absolutely hated it, got some freedom for the first time in my life and didn't know really what to do with it. I grew up in a really strict household. So moved away from home, had own control, and by a strict household, grew up with a very, very controlling father who would, you know, control how much money all of us spent, not just my mum, but as children, what we spent our money on, what we wore, what jewellery, how much jewellery we could wear. It was just controlled. There was no privacy. There was no anything. So then I went to university and I was like, oh my God, all this freedom. I can do whatever I want. And I suppose that really took me off the track of like, head down,
learn. It would anybody. Let's be honest. If you've had that, like, you've been contained, and then off you go. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then it was, I think as well, maybe it was my way of rebelling, because the academic, the studying, the grades was everything. It was literally everything. And maybe, you know, going to university, not taking it so seriously, dipping in and out of lectures, rocking up, I wanted to rock up. And I just really discovered it wasn't really for me. And over the course of a couple of years, I really, you know, dabbled in and out of it, went and got some jobs, and really worked my way up from the bottom. Ended up managing a pub at 21, earning a lot of money at 21. But I'd already decided I was going to go back and finish my degree. And it wasn't really for me, I suppose, I decided to go and finish it. I just hit a point at about 20 where I was like, okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? At least if I have a degree, some doors might open for me.
Yeah.
Because I thought, right, I'm going to go back and finish my degree. But then what happened was, I think it was about 22, 23, fell pregnant with my son and decided that, you know, having a young baby at home, having a partner who was the teacher at the time, wasn't going to really work with me finishing my degree, and that I would go back and finish it in the future. So I left. And then before I started the bridal shop, I probably had three, four years of not working. So when I started the business and we were getting some traction, and because we were one of the first afterpro bridal shops in the UK, we were picking up some PR, we were picking up some things that would really instill confidence in it. So it was like PR, we got, you know, some grants, we got, you know, our business plan approved, I was approved for a loan.
Fact that, you know, we got a lot of traction on social media, didn't we? Like, we were using the thousands, hundreds of thousands sometimes.
But I think that period, had I not had this period of, you know, just being at home, just being a mum, maybe I would have coasted a little bit more with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was trying to unpick, you know, people, I don't know, it'll be interesting to know. Sum up Katie in three words. What do you think, what do people say about Katie in three words? Because I was trying to unpick, why am I like that?
Yeah. So what I know of you is you are motivated, like, to the point of, you, like, whatever it takes, shit getting done. Like, and I love that in you.
Almost obsession.
Yeah, yeah. Politely put, yeah. Almost like obsession. But I find that really amazing. I see that as a really good thing. Where I don't know whether you see that as something that is a bad thing, but I don't know.
We'll dive into that in a minute. Go on. So crazy motivated, almost obsessed. Let's go with two of the words.
Really, really, really switched on, like, really smart.
Oh, that's really kind. And one more.
And what would I say? How do I put this?
You went out.
You are the person that will help anybody. Like, you, I always knew if I have anything going on, I turn to you. You know the answers.
I've got like a Google encyclopedia.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know so much about so much.
I think that's called a polymath. And actually, I think I know a little about a lot.
Yeah.
So I could get my way through.
I've heard you say that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard you say that before.
Okay. Do I think hardworking and crazy motivated? Don't know. Sometimes you need to unpick these things and think, where do they come from? And I think in my house, when I was growing up, failure wasn't really an option. It absolutely wasn't an option. We would have actually got punished if we'd have, you know, done anything less than a C in anything, and it's not even like hard work was rewarded, or, you know, it wasn't like that at all. And I suppose in a way they were trying to set us up for good
career,
for success, but I'm not sure if that was the right way to do it or not. I think how that shows up now for me is, yes, I can get motivated, yes, I can get highly, but I have got an overworking tendency. It's very easy for me to slip into overworking.
Yeah.
And I have to consciously switch that off and consciously decide, nope, I am not getting switched on.
And quite, that's been a process for you, right? That's
yeah,
been,
yeah.
Quite a long
even
process.
Even now, I will work on a weekend and I will do bits. So I'll do 2 to 3 hours work over a weekend, which isn't ideal, but the house is quiet, I'll be like, yeah, we'll just do a bit.
That's like your go-to, yeah, like, oh, I've got a minute.
It's not really a problem until it's a problem. Mm-hmm. So until we are busy, so when we host WordCon, for example, we're crazy busy, we're up and down the country, there is a lot of prep that we do, there's a lot of setting up that we do, it's go, 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 a lot of arranging. We're pretty much planning a wedding every 12 months, aren't we?
Yeah, that is so true.
Organising so many people. When you've got a tendency to overthink and overwork, those times it's a problem, because very quickly I can become incredibly...
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah. So I think this is something that I'm trying to be conscious about, and I'm trying to change that story for my children, really, so that they don't think, oh my God, I need to work myself to death to be successful, because we know that that's not the case. And we know that we can set up things inside of business that really, business, yes, is hard work, but it doesn't need to be hard work all of the time. And it doesn't need to kill you. And I really want that balance between family, home, being present, and having it successful. And
And
I think one of the things is, as well, I'm quite crazy feminist, like, not to the point of, oh my God, I'm going to stand and burn my bra, but I'm really, I think the system is a little bit rigged against women.
I feel the same.
And the culture that I had in the bridal shop was, we're going to give young women opportunities, young women that have had children young, or that have found themselves out of education, or found themselves out of work for whatever reason, really struggle to get back into, really struggle to make a career, or, you know, a salary that matches their partner. And we're going to really push these women to be the best that they can be. And yes, I love it when anyone succeeds, but I'm a little bit like, yes, when it's a girl and a woman doing it. So, okay, how would I set up you? And then we can dive into those things. Let's have a little think. You're very list focused, and I know that's not really a word, but you're very methodical, whereas I can be a little bit like, I wouldn't say I'm scatty, because I'm not scatty, but I hardly ever work to a list. Like, it's all in my brain, and stuff does get done. It gets done.
Oh yeah, like loads of shit gets done, but you can do a little bit over here, then go over there, then go back to that.
Yeah, you're really methodical, and I think that's really like yin yang with us, because it really like balances me out, and that's really good. What would I say the other two? You question yourself more than you should and need to. You are smart, you're good at what you do, and you do sit and question yourself. And this has been something that probably over the last 12 months you're getting much better at. You'll jump in and be like, I've got the answer for that, or
notice that in myself, like, things come a lot easier to me now, and I don't know whether that is just more of a confidence thing. But yeah, I also know why I'm like that, so
yeah. And I think like you said, whether it is a confidence thing, but I don't think you're worried to fail anymore. Whereas a couple of years ago, and we'll dive into that a little bit more, I do think you had that I'm worried to fail attitude. And we all have it. Like, it's not a bad thing. I mean, I've gone through huge periods of my life, and even almost never started my business, never went self-employed, never started the bridal business. That wouldn't have led to what I do now. That wouldn't have led to, you know, where I am and how I've ended up in my life here right now, from a fear of failure, without even trying, without even knowing. And the third one as well, this isn't really business, but you're a great friend. You're great to talk to. We have such a giggle. We have such a laugh. Granted, we had a lot more giggles when we had the shop, and we were just around a lot. You know, there was a lot of balance between work and play in that shop.
There was. It was great. I loved our little like community that we had. I loved it.
Yeah, but we still have.
Oh, we do. You guys out there, if you could only know what we go up to.
But yeah, good friend. Balance. You absolutely balance me out in terms of go, Katie mode a little bit. The list writing, the methodicalness of you.
Let's dive into that. I've wrote these down again. Like, there you go. There's my list. I've wrote them down, and it's because. So I've not always really thought that I had dyslexia, but I've always been a terrible speller. It used to be the bane of my life when I used to do social media posts in the bridal shop, actually. It used to take me so long. I used to get really frustrated about it. So I definitely have dyslexia. It runs in my family. My mum is severely dyslexic, and she has dyscalculia as well. So maybe I have that as well. But so writing lists and doing things methodically make sure that I am not missing anything, because if I do a little bit over here, then I go over there and do something, it scatters my brain. I can't do it. So I just write lists, and I'm very good at one thing one time.
Yeah.
But what I have struggled with in the past, though, with that is, what's the most important thing to do right now compared to something else that I am much better at doing? The things that need to get done now, the things that are going to make us money, they top of the list now. But yeah, I do love a list. I've got notebooks everywhere.
Yeah, I like to write scatty notes, but my notes are much more scatty, aren't they? I just doodle a lot, where it's all like number one.
Yeah, and I do find it difficult to take information in, and I have noticed this. The more we work with coaches, like when we've got like 2-3 coaches, I do find that, and I think it is a dyslexic thing, and maybe others can relate as well, that it probably take, I would say it takes me 4 times longer to take information in. I literally have to listen, write it, listen again, like write it. Like when we were on our coaching calls with our coaches, you're very good at like listening, taking notes at the same time. I can either listen or I'm taking a note. And when I'm writing, the ears switch off, which is very interesting because I haven't never really, apart from this year, like noticed these things. But it's not until you stop and you actually like look at yourself and you go, oh, okay, that's why I do that. But yeah, so that's why I write lists. So you say that I question myself more than I should. And why that?
Let's just dive into that, what you said there about being dyslexic. So what we know about dyslexia now and dyscalculia are they are on like the neurodiverse spectrum, right? So when you have dyslexia, your brain works in a different way. And also you're left-handed.
Yeah.
So left-handed means your right-hand side of your brain is more dominant than your left-hand side of the brain. So I think this is just, and this is what we love to see, because we've both got children on the neurodiverse spectrum. We've both got children with additional needs. What we love to see is that there is a more of an awareness around this now. There's more scientific knowledge around it, and people are more generally accepting of it. And I read a statistic actually that was like, it was 60 or 70% of billionaire entrepreneurs are neurodiverse. And I was like, absolutely makes sense. Totally, yeah, makes sense.
Totally makes sense.
Because the way that they think and the way that you think and our children think is so offbeat and different, that these are the people that will take risks, take challenges, dive in, do things in a different way, mess with the status quo, see things that we don't see incredibly clearly. I know that my son does that. He can just see things so incredibly clearly that he almost gets frustrated that other people can't. But I wonder how much of, you know, what you said there about list taking, you know, the challenges that you face with having dyslexia. What I took from that was, you know, how you've then been able to say, right, okay, yes, I've got this challenge in my life. Yes, this is a little bit difficult, but how can I work through this? And it's interesting there what you said there about dyscalculia, and that you think perhaps you might have some dyscalculia. I don't know a lot about dyscalculia, but I do know that whenever we sit and do numbers in the business, I have to catch you on a good day.
Yes, you do. But exactly like you said, over the last year, I do just feel in general that things just have clicked more in place for me. Like I've literally, what I've done is I feel like I've taken the pressure off myself, and I'm like, I am good enough. Yes, I've got these things that could hold me back, but I'm not going to let them. Yes, it takes me longer to write things than it takes you. And that used to be a real frustration of me, because I'm like, I always used to be like, I want to work as fast as Katie. Like, I can hear her typing. Ah, the pressure. Because you are an
expert. Yeah, I'm a crazy quick typer.
Like, we couldn't be further apart with these things. But now I'm just like, it'll get done when it gets done. And the less pressure I put on myself, the more actually I feel like I'm thriving.
Yeah, I'm productive. I mean, I don't tend to feel the pressure, or I don't tend to feel pressure. I just tend to work quickly. That's just my switch on. And it's interesting because what we were saying about neurodiverse or tapping into different ways of doing things. So I used to call it business ADHD, but I felt like I had business ADHD because that tendency to overwork, that tendency to hyper-focus, I can be an incredible quick thinker. I think one of my traits that I used to think was a negative, but now it really helps me in this career and what we do with coaching people, is I can spot problems incredibly quickly. Uh-huh. And that can sound quite negative, can't it? So when we're discussing an idea or we're discussing a project or where we're going to move the business forward, it can be quite negative to be the person that's like, what about this? What about that? This could go wrong.
Oh, I see that as a massive plus. Like, I know that when we're planning anything, I'm like, Kate's going to be able to, it's not that like I leave you to do it all, but I know that there are things that you'll pick up that I won't pick up. And I'm like,
and vice versa. And I think that's what really helps me now with the coaching. We can go into people's businesses and we can because quite often people will come to us thinking that it's this that's not getting them to where they need to be in their business, or it's this that's not, you know, not working for them. And quite often it isn't that, and we need to peel away the layers and have a look at other things. And you know, that trait really just helped me absolutely now to be able to come into someone's business and be able to run a diagnostic, have a chat with somebody, and within 30 minutes we've got a plan to move forward, we know what the problems are, and we can, once we've done that diagnostic, we can then look at like, okay, how do we improve this, how do we make this better. Right, quickly before we wrap up, because we've got to hop onto our call with our lovely coaching student, talk to me about the other ones.
So you said I question myself more than I should, like I'm worried to fail. You know what that is, honestly? It used to be, it's not now, because I would never do this anyway, but I always used to be worried, like, that I'm not bringing enough to the table.
No, like, not at all.
That's probably half where my anxiety comes from, because I think it stems back way back when, like, when I was growing up, didn't have the best, like, upbringing. I had alcoholic, abusive father, so I had zero confidence, couldn't even string a sentence together. And now for me to be running a successful global business, like, my brain struggled with, oh my life, like, you've got a lot of people to be showing up for, Roxy. But now, yeah, it's not an issue now, I don't know.
I don't know, it's difficult to put yourself out there with that, you know, there is always that chance that things are not going to work out. And also, you know, I suppose when you're breaking the mold, and you're the first person in your family to go self-employed, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
And when you're breaking that mold, there always is the pressure of, what do other people think of me? And, you know, yes, this could go really well, and people will either, you know, love me for it or hate me for it, but I won't care because it's going really well. Or, you know, this may not go so well, and then people are going to be like, well, I told you so. And you get quite a lot of that, don't you?
So my mum and two sisters spend a lot of time together in the week, whereas I'm grafting, putting the hours in to have a successful business. And I think it has taken quite a few years of me educating them about, you know, this is my, it's almost like I've had to prove myself, and that frustrates me, because they won't get it until I'm living in my big house and I've hit my millions. I don't think that, because that's how they see success, is big house, nice car.
Well, let me tell you, I think I'd been self-employed for something like 6-7 years, and someone said to me, oh, what are you doing for your birthday? And I was like, oh, I'm working. And they said, this was somebody very close in my family, oh yeah, you work now, don't you? What's that? I've worked for the last 6 years.
And I know that everybody listening, and I'm nodding along, we've all got people like that. Do you know, half of my family still think I work in the bridal shop.
Yeah. And quite a lot of people will say, what is it that you do? And that's fine. That is absolutely fine. I've really loved having this little chat.
I have.
Down a little bit more and picking apart what makes this tick.
I was nervous at the beginning. I was like,
how do you think these things, so the list making, the methodicalness, the believing in yourself more, not being so worried to fail, how do you think, and you're a really good listener, like super good listener, how do you think these make you a better business person?
Good question. You know, it's difficult to see when, how do you think those things for me make me a good business person? That might be easier because I don't know.
Well, I think, you know, shit's got to get done sometimes, and having that methodicalness, the list, not really ranking your tasks. You mentioned before that you would struggle to see, you know, this is the really important stuff, this is the stuff that isn't so important.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the not ranking your tasks actually just helps you get everything done. Yeah. And some people potentially will ignore some of the more difficult stuff, or the things that are a little bit more challenging to do or take a little bit longer. Whereas if you're not really putting any weight on any one of those tasks.
That's very true.
I think the only thing to really be mindful of there is we've all got limited hours in the day. And to make sure that in our day, at some point in our day, we're focusing on what's generating the sales, what's generating leads, what's bringing the money in, rather than all the stuff that we can all get wrapped up in sometimes that actually, those are the things, yes, they need to get done, but they don't need the needle forward on the business. So it's always about just being conscious about spending some time. And I know that you do that really well, but just for people who may not.
So the number two thing that you said about me and how that comes from, you know, being on a journey of low confidence and then really putting the work in for myself, I think that is really great for me in this business, because I can see that in other people straight away. I'm like, look, you might be here now, but there is literally nothing stopping you. And I'm very good at, like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? I'm very good at seeing the potential and helping people realize that you literally, honestly, can be wherever you want to be. If you are willing to show up, put the hours in, you can go wherever you want. You can do whatever you want.
I think what's been quite nice about doing this podcast, I don't know what other people think about us, and I don't, to an extent, and I'm going to say something quite controversial now.
You don't want to know.
I don't really care. I think some people can think, oh, well, it's okay for her because, you know, this is going on or that's going on, or it's okay for them because they've got each other. And actually, we've started this business from absolute scratch. I started my business before that from absolute scratch. I had no business experience. I left university twice. Like, I'm a university, twice university.
I went to college for one day, and because of my low confidence, I never went back.
You know, going back before then, we've both had challenging upbringings. I was taken into care and adopted. So, and I think some of those things absolutely show up for me in business, how motivated I am, how driven I am, how, you know, I don't want the typical story of, you know, how life can go. Don't want that story. And also, I think, and this is, we're very conscious parenters, and we're also quite conscious business owners, I would say. So I think because we're into personal development, maybe because we've had challenging upbringings or not, but I think actually it's more that our children require a little bit more extra help and a little bit more tailored help. And those skills absolutely cross over into
business. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Explain things in multiple different ways. We're able to tap into different languages, different ways to explain things to people. You know, we're quite adept to having to explain things in four or five different ways, not getting frustrated, keeping calm, all of these things. But in terms of, we want to really make the decision to change the story. So change the story about what is a successful business person. You know, why is it that women can't have successful businesses and be around for their family? Why, like, do we need our children to have the same hang-ups that we've had in life? Like, and I think we are naturally, and we see this with the businesses that we work with, the people that question things and you know, put in the effort, want to learn, are lifelong learners, whether they love to learn or don't love to learn, it's just natural to them, and it comes naturally to them, and they're willing to try new things, put themselves out there, not be scared of things. And then on the other hand, we sometimes see the people that just aren't willing to take a chance, and they think they know what they know, and they're not, you know, they're too scared to operate outside the lines. And the businesses that we spoke about first are the ones that get there much faster. And I definitely think, whether it's been the experiences that we've had in life, the children that we've got, the people that surround us, or just that we were just naturally wired this way, that we are definitely like those people that just want to be like, do you know what? We're going to try this. If it doesn't work, we'll have learned something. And we're going to try that. And we, you know, want to constantly improve. We're always like, oh, well, that was great. Now what's the next?
Yep, next.
Right.
Thank you so much.
It's fine. I was like, oh, I loved that. Let's dive into it. I actually haven't finished that podcast. So I'm going to go. It's a really long one. They are long, but I really wanted to finish it. But when he mentioned that about, you know, what made him tick, how he brought that into the CIA, his upbringing, his childhood.
I would love to have been a spy. I said this to you the other day. I would love it.
I'd be the worst spy ever. Right. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank we can't you. Wait to see you on the next episode. Remember to register for our free masterclass if you haven't already, and we'll pop the details of that into the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hope you've got to know us a little bit better, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.